Welcome to Rethink Association, your one-stop destination for all things association marketing. We're spending 15 to 20 minutes each month diving into the intricate world of association marketing, unraveling the strategies, tactics, and trends that drive success for these vital organizations. Get ready to supercharge your marketing efforts and gain a deeper understanding of the unique challenges and opportunities that associations face. Right here on Rethink Association by High Road Solutions. Welcome back to another episode of Rethink Association. Just for full disclosure, we are recording this the day before Thanksgiving break. So Gara's three children are home with her today from school. So there is a good chance we may have to pause and or hear some children in the background.
Yay for Thanksgiving break and school being out. The Munchkins were pretty excited that they didn't have to wake up and get on the bus today. But they have already asked me for 739 snacks, and it's not even lunchtime yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have to ask for snacks because it's just me over here. I just get them for myself, but that's fun. And I feel like Gara may or may not have bribed her children with said snacks to keep them quiet for this event. So we will see how the bribery works out.
Oh, I definitely did. I gave them chocolate.
And since we are about to go on holiday break, it's funny because Gara and I actually, even though we work together, we are in two very far away locations from each other. So we don't get to see each other that often. Gara, is your house decorated for the holidays?
My Christmas decor is up. I go straight from Halloween to Christmas. I do not do anything in between. No Thanksgiving or fall decorations. The tree is up. All the Christmas stuff is out downstairs, and I'm still trying to convince my husband to put up lights on the outside of the house.
Yes, I am a little bit on the different side. My Halloween is down, but I do have, you know, I have a small apartment, so decor is minimal, but I do have my pumpkins up. I am a day after Thanksgiving decorator, and this year I am not looking forward to the death of my Christmas tree because I have a new kitten who I'm 100% convinced the minute that tree goes up, it will be destroyed. So we shall keep our fingers crossed in hopes, but that is for me to do on Friday, but good on you for getting yours up already. So today, on that note, we are going to have a little short and sweet pre-holiday podcast for you folks. This is kind of the time where a lot of our accounts are in the kind of planning and getting some ideas, doing a little research on ways that they can possibly, you know, up their skills, level up their use of their platforms, or even kind of change their methodology and strategy for the new year. So we are going to be talking about something that's been popping up in our conversations a little bit as they've become a little bit more prevalent in the association space. A lot of folks are already very familiar with the marketing funnel. Which most of our accounts are using, but coming into play these last few months / year, we are hearing a little bit more about the flywheel methodology. So today we're going to kind of talk about both what they are, what they can be, and how associations can kind of use them, or at least try to strategize and think of ways to maybe work towards a flywheel mentality from a marketing funnel mentality. So going to keep it short and sweet for you, but we are going to start off with breaking down both for you. So I'm going to kick it to Gara to kind of break down the marketing funnel for you and kind of go through what that is. I'll take on flywheel, and then we'll talk about how our associations are using it or planning to use it or ways that we can work to get to it. So Gara, I'm going to kick it to you for the funnel discussion.
All right. Thanks, Morgan. So as many of you probably know, the funnel is broken down into three stages. We have the top of funnel, middle of funnel, and bottom of funnel. Another way to look at it is that we can look at it as awareness, consideration, and conversion, and then add a fourth layer of it for loyalty. So top of funnel is the stage where we want to attract and engage early prospects. So that's going to be done through social media, SEO, blogs, your videos, your website. We're looking to fix your prospects' problems. And they're trying to find what's going to work best for them during this stage, which is where we come in with the awareness of your organization, your product, your services. The further down a customer gets in the funnel is the closer they're going to be to making a decision on purchasing or joining your organization. So middle of funnel, they're already aware of what your products and services or your organization is about. But they just need a little help to like move that needle to joining. So they start looking for more in-depth information about your brand or your organization. So they're going to be looking for like educational information. You may have, they may in the top of funnel have filled out a form. So now you're able to email them about your organization, paid ads, offer them discounts, downloads, white papers, anything to just kind of bring them in a little bit more for to get them to the next stage, which is the bottom of the funnel. This is where we're going to start wanting our prospects to convert and close those deals, sign up, join our organizations or associations. We're going to be emphasizing those benefits through call to actions, those demos, shopping carts. We can look at shopping cart abandonment, see where they left off. And try to bring them back where they were left off in the purchase process. We can use testimonials to help get them to convert. For associations, the funnel in practice, we can look at this in a different type of way. So we can look at it from a demand generation content. So who we're trying to attract to the association. Then we can move on to the lead gen content, how you get their contact info, having them fill out the consent form. The next part would be, you know, your marketing and nurturing that contact through different content. So we're trying to find who's going to be a good fit and who is actually interested in your organization. Then we're moving on to the sales channel. And that is who's already interested, but needs just that little extra push. And then the last part is where we get into the loyalty. So we're looking at member value content. So what content are you offering? Your programs? Are we matching our member at their most individual level in order to get them to stay loyal and stay with our association? So all in all, that is kind of how the marketing funnel works from top to bottom. And this is what a lot of our clients are using today. But Morgan's going to go into kind of how the flywheel is a little bit different and has been coming up in our conversations a little bit more lately.
Yeah, thanks, Gara. One of the things to note, you know, most of our accounts are doing the marketing funnel concept because it's pretty easy to, you know, track and get good metrics for it. You know, but the flywheel is a little bit different because it does create permanent and forever customers, if you will, because it's, you know, a flywheel, meaning it's circular. You know, I'm laughing at myself, Gara, as we're doing this podcast. Before I get into the flywheel, you know, podcasts are great, but, you know, a visual of the difference between these two would have been really helpful. So, you know, as we're explaining, you know, we say funnel and flywheel. I know people probably understand the general shapes, but, you know, it's good that we're explaining it because otherwise I feel like, you know, we're missing a visual here. But yes, the flywheel is exactly as it sounds. It is round. It is circular. In the marketing funnel, you are making efforts to attract customer prospects and then convert them to purchasing customers, which is great. You're getting ROI. You're getting people to purchase things. You're getting members. You're getting all these things. However, once they've purchased, they fall out until they come back again to do something in the purchasing department. in the flywheel business model, you are going to put ongoing effort into the customer's journey. So you're going to make everything that they start out doing super easy and super exciting for them, or delightful. The word delight will come up as I speak much more often. It's just a great word. So the idea, if you're making it easy and fun and delightful for your customers, they're going to kind of keep coming back and come back more frequently, creating a circular motion, or the wheel will keep spinning. So a lot of people are saying that this model is more effective and that it leads to greater profits because it's prioritizing the customer, not the sale. They are the center of focus. So it's not necessarily what they're purchasing or when they're purchasing. It's, are they coming back? Are they delighted? Are they engaged? So concept of the flywheel is pretty simple. It works like a regular wheel. As you feed it with more energy, it will spin faster and faster. So when you apply this to marketing, satisfied customers are the energy that will keep the wheel spinning and will help build momentum. So they become the driving force between the growth of your business. So the key is, back to that word delight, the key is delighting your customer throughout each phase of their buying experience and after they've completed their purchase. So if you're doing this, you can inspire the customers to share their experience, which adds to the word of mouth element, and then they become your biggest advocates and can help you to create more funnels or more circles and more wheels and keep more clients spinning. Once you get these members and clients into your account, then the engagement keeps going. It's all a circular motion, not just kind of a step one, two, three out and then start again, step one, two, three out. So the main difference, really, you know, Gara kind of went through the main funnel goals are to make people aware, give them consideration, and then convert them to a member or make them do a purchase. Flywheel goals are similar, but their goals are to attract, engage, and this word delight. So keeping our customers happy, making things easy for them, and consistently giving them what they need keeps them going in a circular motion. So kind of a good breakdown between the two. Like I said, a visual would be super helpful, but hopefully our descriptions were good enough for you to kind of understand the difference. So Gara, taking it to the application level, do you have any accounts that are successfully using a full-on flywheel model, some version of both, or are yours mostly stuck in the marketing funnel stage?
I think a lot of my clients are in the funnel stage right now. The flywheel is definitely something as we move into 2024 that I'd be interested in talking to them more about and seeing how their organizations may be able to utilize it. And you brought this up that with the flywheel, we're focusing more on current customers sharing their experiences, which, as you know, they say, word of mouth is the best form of advertising and it's free. So I think it'd be very interesting to see if some of our current clients can utilize this methodology. Yeah. But like you said, a lot of them are using the funnel right now. It's a little bit easier to measure. So that's where I think we're at.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I have a lot of different organizations from a lot of different spaces, and I've got accounts that are in all different levels of having, you know, teams and or marketing and technology stacks that are helpful or not so helpful. The flywheel does require what I would say not necessarily a lot of extra work, but you need to have a lot of extra metrics to be keeping the flywheel moving. So it's not just did they read and open my email or did they make a purchase. It's did they check something on social media? Have they registered for conferences? So I feel like the flywheel encapsulates a lot more data on each person. And to keep the wheel moving, you have to be constantly looking at those metrics. And a lot of my associations are kind of working with technology stacks that don't necessarily assist with getting all of that information that they need. They're a little bit on the restricted side. So as we are coming into 2024, a lot of my associations are wondering where they're spending their dollars currently and where they could possibly be rebudgeting or refocusing to get a platform or a service that is more omni-channel, where they can get metrics from all sides. However, you know, as we all know, with getting new platforms and getting new data, there's always that, you know, kind of growing pains type thing. So the strategy and the planning to kind of go from the marketing funnel is, you know, a lot of time and effort to completely convert to the flywheel idea. I think a lot of my accounts are interested in having that wheel like, you know, circular motion for their members and for their people that they're trying to become members. But there's a big time component and a little growing pains component. So most of mine are in the marketing funnel department, but they are looking towards and getting ideas for how they could evolve or morph into a more flywheel friendly area. So I'm looking forward to these conversations that I'm having.
Yeah, I think it kind of takes us back to what we've talked about previously in other episodes on making sure that the sales and marketing team are aligned too. You want to make sure that they're both on the same page with either the funnel or the flywheel, whichever you are using or would like to utilize. Something that the funnel doesn't have that the flywheel does is that, as you said before, the customers with the funnel are viewed as like an afterthought. It's not a driving force like it is with the flywheel. The funnel can produce your customers, but it's not considering how the customers can help you grow overall. So that's why I kind of think the flywheel is becoming a little bit more important today.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That's a good thought, Kara. So questions that people always ask, you know, it's always money related, it seems, or it always comes down to money, in a sense, when marketers and, you know, communications and membership and all of those folks are figuring out where they want to put their dollars, in both of these type of places. Where should you put your money, Gara? So in the funnel methodology, where should marketers be focusing their money? And if you have an opinion on the flywheel, I'll take that also.
Yeah. So, to me, marketers should be focusing on top of funnel stage. So that awareness stage with, most of their marketing dollars. And I say that because it has a larger reach for their audience. As we move down funnel, yes, per person, it may get a little bit more expensive as we're going into bottom of funnel to actually close the deal. But overall, you're going to see your most engagement at the top of the funnel as you're working your way to getting people to know who you are, putting your ads out there, trying to get people to fill out forms. Kind of works the same with the flywheel. It's going to be in that first attract stage where you should put your dollars there.
Yep, I'm with you. You know, the idea, once the wheel gets spinning, you can keep working from there. But I think in both senses, I guess, the money should be going in the very beginning. I do have a few accounts this year that kind of learned that the hard way. They were, you know, focused in the middle or the end of their funnel and realizing that things were falling flat. So there was a shift and they saw some definite improvement in their CTAs when they, you know, kind of switched where they were, I guess you could say. You know, I think there's something to be said for being strategic and where you're going to put your advertising dollars. So that's great. My last question for you, Gara, is, you know, and we did kind of touch on this already, but, you know, there's always people that want to say, like, we want to flip the switch. Is it simple to just flip the switch from a funnel methodology to a flywheel methodology or not? And what are your thoughts and maybe some advice for people that are maybe considering this?
I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be hard to switch, but you just have to start, you have to learn each and see which one's best for your organization. So if you're wanting to switch to the flywheel, you want to start morphing and evolving into this methodology. You'll need the right tools and technology in place to run the successful flywheel methodology. You need to get everybody on the same page with the sales team, the marketing team, if you have separate teams, because you may have to be getting data from several different platforms to keep the wheel moving.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the same kind of concept, I guess. I don't think it's a flip of a switch for sure. You know, Gara, you and I have been talking. It seems like all of our podcasts have kind of built on the idea that since we restarted of the sales and the marketing teams playing nice and staying organized with each other and making sure everybody's on the same page. And we will keep preaching it until we stop doing podcasts and beyond, because it is very important.
Yes. It is. You need to make sure that either way we go, that we're putting the right stuff at the right time. So the right content in those right stages. So if we're looking at the funnel, you know, the awareness is, as we mentioned, going to be, you know, the blogs, the webinars, quizzes, podcasts like this,
exactly.
Those kind of things. And then as you move down funnel, it's going to be a little bit more customized, especially after you close the sale or somebody joins the membership. It needs to be tailored to what the member wants and needs. So you need to really think about like your welcome series, your best practices for reaching your members, keeping them engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the, you know, the other thing that us at High Road over here likes to make sure that we mention is technology is a key part of success, making sure all of your tools are talking to each other with a integration, cough, cough, High Road, cough, cough. But also making sure everything's talking so that all those data pieces are coming together. You know, the flywheel methodology and the funnel methodology only works if you're getting, you know, data that matches up and things are syncing with each other so that you are not kind of, you know, left in the dust of where things stand. Having things all talk to each other and being kind of one great place is really helpful to keep your personalization, to keep your clients and future members engaged and wanting more. So yeah, I think that's great, Gara. I think we've at least explained it for people and maybe put a bug in their ear for as they're doing some planning for this year.
Yeah.
And next year. Yeah.
I definitely agree.
And your children did not make a single peep. So you obviously gave them enough chocolate to keep them quiet for our short and sweet podcast. Way to go, Mom.
Yes, I think I did. So we'll see if they tell me they're still hungry after this when it gets to be lunchtime. But thank you for joining us today. We hope everybody has had a great Thanksgiving. On December's episode, we will be discussing game theory for marketers and how this can relate to lead scoring within a competitive landscape for associations. So join us next time on Rethink Association. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.